Evening, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome to those online. Let's start this meeting off with some praise and worship together. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Lord, the power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all power belongs to you. God, the power belongs to you. It all belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all power belongs to you. Lord, the power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all power belongs to you. The power belongs to you. It all belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all power belongs to you. Again, the power belongs to you. The power belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all power belongs to you. The power belongs to you. It all belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all power belongs to you.
Belongs to you. It all belongs. stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Who can stand against the King? No one can. No one.
Provider, find my peace.
and we put our hope in you, Lord. We put our trust in you, and we put our hope in you, Lord. For you will deliver your own provider. I find my victory in you. Forever victorious, forever we win. I find my victory in you, Lord.
Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. 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 Lord, all victory belongs to You. You never fail. You never lose. Wow. We are so privileged and so honored to have you as our Lord and our elder brother. So privileged to be joint heirs with you. So privileged to be brought into the family of God. Thank you that your everlasting love sustains us. And because you are victorious, we are victorious. Thank you, Lord, for another time in your presence and for the marvelous dealings of grace in our lives today. We give you praise for all things, Most High. We say yes to your word, yes to your will. And we receive from you the word from above. May we be transformed thereby. Take us where we cannot take ourselves. Helper of the helpless, help us. Hope of the hopeless, be our hope, be our faith. And above all, let your love fill us through and through, and let love filter everything that comes into our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to have you this evening. You may be seated. Thank you for leading us in worship. Hallelujah. Amen. I was thinking just this evening, just a few days ago, we had a wonderful baptism. And the grace of God was very present with those that were baptized. Just a few days ago, we crossed over from 2021 to 2022. And this month, we have decided to just be in the presence of the Lord as our first fruit unto God. this time dedicated to God is sanctifying all of the days of this month and all of the days of this year and all of the days of our years. We give God praise for his faithfulness. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to be continuing on the message I've been sharing with you the last few days. I'm going to continue with that same message until the Lord says differently. But we're going to be building on it. And as we build on it, God is establishing that word deep within our spirits. Father told us that this was the year of partnership. I was flipping through my iPad today and I saw that we had Partnering with God conference. And I looked at the date, it was Rosh Hashanah. I said, yeah, that's right. It's the same thing. That was a pretaste. Hallelujah. But God is enlarging our net. And just like last year, this year we're going to have many men and women of God speaking to our lives. It is not that we are borrowing some anointing from somewhere else. No. It is God is enlarging the scope. He's building a network. Hallelujah. He's building a network of people from different nations. And he's saying, I am not giving this world over to the devil. For in the place where unity is, there the commanded blessings of God is. And when the blessings of God are commanded, there is nothing else that blessing will do other than obey. Let me say it again. It says, the commanded blessing. That means that all blessing is meant to do is to bless you. Praise God. Say, the commanded blessing of the Lord is upon my life. That means everything in my life is blessed of the Lord. Praise God. Now, that's a very good thing, but it's a bad thing too. So what do you mean is a good thing and a bad thing at the same time? Because blessing means multiplication. Blessing means increase. So we don't want anything that we don't want increased around when the blessing is coming. May I say that again? You don't want anything that does not belong, anything that is contrary to be where the blessing is, because it will multiply it. It's like yeast that causes the dough to rise, expands it. That's exactly what the blessing does. It blows up whatever it is that's there. Are you listening? You sure? Okay, so let's give ourselves an opportunity tonight to once again say to the Lord, if there is anything inside me that does not belong, take it out. Lord, do some amazing laser surgery, whatever it is you need to do, bloodless surgery. Take it out of me because I want the blessing to blow up everything that is good in my life, that's assigned to my life. Do you receive that? Okay, rise up. Talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, anything that does not belong in my life, anything that does not belong in this church, anything that does not belong in this family of saints, Lord God, anything that does not belong in our businesses, anything that does not belong, oh God, in our homes, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare this day that it be eradicated immediately, 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 immediately. Lord, oh God, the things that do not belong are not allowed to stay. We are this day rejecting them, and we are cleaving to the truth that you, O God, are the God who makes us new creations. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. So, Lord, O God, we thank you, Lord, for the establishment of the new. Hallelujah. Let the blessing fall on the new that you have established in us. And, Lord, O God, let us, O God, be a showcase of your glory in this last of the last days. So we declare over our families, over our marriages, over our relationships, over our finances, over our, oh Lord, our emotions, over our businesses, over our church, over every aspect of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that wrong friends are eradicated, wrong relationships eradicated. And Lord, oh God, you're bringing the right things, oh God, into our lives. So, Father, our focus is supernaturally set. Glory be to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You may be seated. This morning we began sharing about Peter in the book of Acts chapter 12. He's in Acts chapter 12 and he's chained. He's chained down to two soldiers, one on the right, one on the left. And a quaternion, 16 soldiers are assigned to make certain that he does not escape. Why are they chaining him? Because they knew Peter was the head of the church. And they did not want to lose Peter just like they lost Jesus. The tomb didn't work. Now let's have more soldiers and let's chain him. If he goes anywhere, the soldiers are going to go with him. Oh, but lying devils, you can't come where I'm going. Hallelujah. These forces that were established to pin him down in a place of limitation. He's put in prison, a place of limitation. Guards are in. The doors are shut in the place of limitation. There are guards outside in the place of limitation. Then there's a ward of soldiers and a second ward of soldiers, all trying to keep Peter so that after the resurrection, after Easter, Herod can kill him. After Easter, you see, Jesus rose again from the dead. The word Easter is not a Christian word. That is what the world looks like. How many of you know that rabbits don't have eggs? So Easter, when we talk about Easter, we're not talking about the same thing. It is the superimposement of the world on the things of God. And so it says after Easter, believing that the world system will supersede what God was doing, the will of God. So we're going to superimpose this devilish, demonic festival over the resurrection. And after that, we have overcome them with our mandate. We will kill Peter. Ah, lying devils. But God had a different plan. He is the God who raises the dead. He is the God who raises those that have been assigned to death. Romans 8 says to us, it says, we are like sheep for the slaughter. Assigned to die. But that is not what God has on his mind. It is what God has to say that is going to happen in our lives. Are you hearing that? Romans 8, this is what the Word of God says. For thy sake we are killed. What did it say? For thy sake we are what? Killed. All the day long. We are killed. All the day long. When it says we are killed, you know that means we are killed. But it is in the mind of the enemy. Because he thinks we are done. Oh, but God has a different narrative. And it's not the narrative of the world that I am going to pronounce forth out of my mouth. Then it says we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We are accounted. If we are killed already, we cannot be accounted. The enemy believes that you are done. You're finished. He has won. Oh, but he's a lying devil, because when he thinks that he's won, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Oh, oh, oh. You are more than a conqueror. Hear this. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But the Word of God says, nay. Somebody say, nay. Say it again, nay. And those that are watching in India will say, nay. In all these things, with all their planning, with all their strategizing, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. Praise the Lord. Through him that has loved us, we are more than conquerors. And watch this. Verse 38 says this. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. has the capacity or the ability to separate us from the love of God. But the question is, are you going to separate yourself from the love of God? Because God gives you a free will. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he said, so many people have fallen away from the faith because of this pandemic. They have given up on their faith. And I was thinking, nah, if you had real faith, pandemic, no pandemic, it has nothing to do with you. God spoke to us. He said, you're going to come out of this better. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're going to come out of this better. And in very real physical ways, we're coming out of this better. I'm standing on better. Hallelujah. And behind me, in a few days, there's going to be even better. And where you are sitting in just a few days will be better. We're coming out better. Is it because we betrayed and surrendered our faith and drew on the world system with their bribery? No. You're not going to make us do anything because we don't march to your drumbeat. We march to the drumbeat of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The trumpet we're listening to is not your trumpet. We're listening to the blast from the kingdom. We are from above. And because we are from above, we are above all. We are not men. When you're a child of God and you know what you know, you don't sell out. You follow the leading of God's guidance and pursue the heart of God. And you say, your kingdom, O God, let it come. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Praise be the Lord, our God. Nay, in all these things, it doesn't matter with the heights or depths or any other creature. Doesn't matter. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I love verse 40. It says in verse 40, it says this, Romans 8 and verse 40, 40. Somebody sleeping at the... Oh, no 40. Sorry about that. Nay, in all these things, we are this. But hear this. It says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. This is key. We are locked in to the truth that is in Christ Jesus, and we are bearers of truth. We are witnesses, and the Holy Spirit is bearing us witness. He's affirming in us this truth. Verse 2, it says that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. This is telling us about the reality of what is happening. It says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What is he crying about? He's crying about those that are supposed to be saved, but are not. And the one thing that has to grab our hearts as we are partners with God. Remember that we are what? Partners. Is that we have to have God's heartbeat. All the enemy is doing is saying, I'm going to kill you. But God says, no, you're not going to die. I got your back on this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He says, lo, I'm going to be with you even to the end of the age. God is calling you and I, whether we are in nursery, to preach the gospel. Say nursery, to preach the gospel. Yes. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, my little darling sings it. If they can sing, Mary had a little lamb, or Humpty Humpty, or whatever else they sing, let them sing about the Lord. What is that song you're singing? You want to learn it? Yes. Say, Jesus loves me, this I know. And they go home and sing it. Mama, I learned a new song. What is the song? Jesus loves me. They are preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether you're in elementary school, whether you're in high school, in college, in university, whatever, wherever you are called with a mandate from God to preach the gospel. Let people know what you are all about, who it is that you believe in. If they can come out of the closet, we need to come out of the closet. Once upon a time, there were people hiding in closets. Now they are in the street. I'm proud of it. Well, do your thing. Show the love of God to a world that is held in captivity. The enemy, like Peter, is trying to pin down the church. And saying, you're not going to get out of here. The angel of the Lord shows up. The light shone in that prison. And the man is still sleeping. And he did not get free. Remember, we talked about that this morning. He did not get free until he woke up. It is in your waking up that your chains fail to hold you. You got to wake up. Wake up by being renewed in the spirit of your mind, by recognizing who you are, what you are all about. The world will make all the noise it wants to make and tell you to shut up, but you, like blind Bartimaeus, need to shout out even louder, Jesus! There is a world that wants you to shut up, but in 2022, you are not going to shut up. Hallelujah. I said in 2022, you are not going to shut up. He wakes up. The chains are gone. And the angel says, gird yourself. Get ready. Because, you see, there are going to be new opportunities, open doors, and you need to be ready to go through those doors. One day a man saw me and he asked me, he said, Every time I see you, you are dressed up. I said, yeah. He said, why? I said, because I don't know who I'm going to see. I have to be ready. So if I wear sweats, it's got to be classy. Glory. One of these meetings, I'm going to wear one of the sweats that my daughter gave to me for Christmas. That's nice, Glory and Peace logo on it. And it feels really good. I said, I've not worn any sweats this nice. And since then, I've been just spotting that thing. I said, this looks good. This can travel. Hallelujah. You don't just buy anything because it's on sale. No, you buy what looks good on you. When you wear it, it might be cheap, but when you wear it, people think, oh, that's got to be $1 million. Why? Because the Word of God already tells you to be dressed to kill. You say, where in the Bible? It says, put on the whole armor of God. Is that not what the Bible says? Put on your breastplate. Put on the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Take the shield of faith, by which you can quench the fiery darts of the enemy, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Have the helmet of salvation. When the enemy sees you, he's got to see a soldier. Be a part of the army of God. One of the things the Lord stressed to us last night as we spent time in his presence in this house praying was the issue of order. A military force has to be in order. And order has to be in the church of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We are an army. And not only are we an army, we are a nation. A holy nation unto God. And guess what? Nations have government, governance, departments, ministries. Nations have ambassadors. And every person in that nation is meant to follow law and order. That's what God is going to establish in the church that is the true church. Because he's coming for a church that has no spots or blemishes or wrinkles. Hello? The question is, am I going to be part of that church? Because the church that is not the real church is going to be used by the devil to try to persecute the real church. And that's not a word that you heard for the first time today. God has been speaking to us about this time and preparing us for this time and this season that we are in right now. He's been preparing us. We did not come into any of this by chance. It didn't just happen. We already know. We are very aware of what's going on in the world, what the devil is strategizing to do. But we are not concerning ourselves about what the devil is doing. We are concerning ourselves about what we are doing. Praise the Lord. Because it's not what they are doing that matters. It's what we are doing that matters. And what we are doing is this. We are saying that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise the Lord. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are not going to be here tied down. by the spirit of science and humanism, the spirit of the Antichrist. Taps him, wakes him up, he gets dressed, and he goes through the door. Out, past the quaternion, past the first word, past the second word, and the Bible says they came by the iron gate, and the iron gate opened up by itself. He just knew. But notice, the iron gate stayed locked until they approached it. What does that mean? Movement. You got to move towards the obstacle that is saying, you can't come into the city. You can't come into the city. You got to stay outside the city. No, we're coming into the city. Hallelujah. We're coming into the city. We're coming into the city. We're coming into the place that God has assigned for us to come into. You are not going to make any decisions for us. We are going to decide what we're going to do, because the power of God rests in us and empowers us to live victoriously, and we will not bow to any other gods. Praise the Lord. So they approach the city, and it says, the iron gate opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Why? He was now wide awake. In this next move, where God is taking us to, he's going to lead us, and lead us just like you are training a child to ride their bike. You hold on, and they're struggling, and they're trying to find their balance, and they're pedaling, and after a while, you just let them. And they find out they're doing it, and they are balanced, and they're not falling all over the place anymore. That's where, are you ready for this? That's where what you say becomes what God is saying. What do you call it? Hallelujah. And the Bible says that in the last days, there's going to be two prophets. Remember them? These are the prophets that are calling down fire and disaster, and they are battling the spirit of the Antichrist and causing serious havoc. I remember many years ago, the Lord saying, you know who the two prophets are? I said, they say it's possibly it's Moses and Enoch, and or maybe Elijah. He said, no. I said, well, who are they? Who is this? He says, that's the Old Testament church and the New Testament church. I said, huh? He says, I'm going to bring Jews and Christians together into the new man. I said, oh. He said, the church is going to look very Jewish in the last days, and the Jews are going to be so much like Christians in the last days. I said, oh. Now, this was decades ago. He says, watch what's going to happen in the world. All of a sudden, I started seeing Jews becoming Christians. Huh? I say, seeing Christians studying the Tanakh and studying what the writers and the sages said. Oh, this is how the Jews used to believe about this. That's partly why we do all the celebrations. That's where all of that came from. It's not because we're trying to get back to the law. No. Because we're trying to connect with our brothers. Connecting back, locking arms together, and saying we are the people of God. And we are not going to bow down to any other gods, but to the Most High God. Peter gets in and he goes to the house of Rhoda and pounding away. But they were busy praying. Praying for who? Peter. He said, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, this is another gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. Oh my. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. Why? For gladness. But ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And he said unto her, thou art mad. You crazy. You've lost your mind. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And where is Peter? Still at the gate. Peter, why are you still at the gate? The iron gate opened up of its own accord. The angels just left you. And your first experience is that you walked through the gate. Peter, why are you still at the gate? Waiting for somebody to open the door for you. Peter is still there. Waiting. Peter. Go in. The Lord who saved you when the doors and the windows were shut walked inside. Why are you still at the gate? The last thing I showed you when I woke you up is that you walked right through a shut door. Then I showed you how the gates opened of its own accord to you. Now you are at the door knocking and waiting because somebody did not open the door for you. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying God is bringing us to a place where you don't need to wait for the door to be opened because God says to us, I have an open door. She's waiting. He's waiting there. He says, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Oh, that's great. What are they astonished about? That Peter is there at the gate. But listen to the next statement. But he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James. And to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. What is the message? The man has been delivered by the power of God. The doors have swung open of their own accord. But somehow, there's still an element of fear. But the Word of God says, God has not given to us the spirit of fear. Fear will cause you and I to stay waiting for man. Fear will cause us to step away from the bold approach that we're supposed to take. Fear. But what destroys fear? The Word of God says perfect love will cast out fear. The perfect love of knowing that we are loved of God. So I'm going to ask you to rise with me again. We're going to deal with the spirit of fear. Because fear limits us. Fear causes us not to recognize what God has made available to us. Fear does not allow us to do boldly what we know we should do. Fear. He should have learned. If the angel left him, it was because the angel knows that he has what it takes to make the right decisions henceforth. So we are going to ask God tonight, Lord, remove the mindset of fear, the mindset of limitations off of my life. I surrender it to you. I surrender it to you. God, take it. Remove it from me. I don't want this. I want to have a totally different mindset. The mind of Christ that is fearless, that is bold, that is decisive. Hallelujah. Peter is going to grow out of this. And he's going to come to that place where he begins to act differently. But he flip-flops quite a bit. Why? Because he flip-flopped and he never did release completely that duality. And the one thing about 2022, and we're going to pray in a moment, is this, that you need to understand, is that when you look at the numerical values of 22, it's a number that deals with duality, but also deals with the issue of unity. When you look at the Word of God and you look at the things that happened at 22, kings that reigned for 22 years and different aspects of that number 22, when you research it, you begin to find out two things. One is disorder. 22 becomes a number of disorderliness. But on the flip side, it's a number that shows forth order. In one sense, it shows of double-mindedness. And the other side, it shows up a focus. And today we are going to take the flip side. Rather than have the duality and the confusion of 22, we're going to take on the steadfastness, the focus, and the unity that's in 22. Amen? Hallelujah. Remember, the Lord has shown us these principles in His Word, where a particular name has two meanings. So it is 22. So we're going to make the right decisions today. Amen? We're going to banish fear. We're going to banish disorder. We're going to banish doubt and disunity. And we're going to choose tonight a united front. We're going to choose order. We're going to choose steadfast faith, boldness in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to pray? Amen. Sister Kristen is going to help us with the information so you know exactly what we're talking about. It's right there on the screen for you. Lord, remove the mindset of fear, the mindset of limitations off of my life. I surrender it to you. God, take it, remove it from me. I want the mind of Christ, fearless, bold. We take on the steadfastness, unity from 22. We banish fear, disorder, doubt, and disunity. We choose a united front, order, steadfast faith, boldness in the Holy Ghost. It's all there. Go, pray, talk to the Lord right now. You're not just pronouncing words, you're declaring declarations, and God is hearing you and is going to do according to that which you are saying right this very moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kode bala shande ba kosa brakaha. I kalada ba sheke. Brato setele matoko. Rikatara brashe kalamasoreba. Thank you, Lord, O God, that the mindset of fear, the mindset, O God, of limitations, the mindset, O God, of waiting, O God, for others, O God, to do stuff so that we can have access. Lord, O God, we thank you, Lord, that that mindset, O God, of limitations are this day eradicated. They are removed, permanently removed from our lives, from our church, from our family, from our relationships. Lord, oh God, in Jesus' name, I declare, oh God, that there be, oh God, a supernatural move. Lord, oh God, in which, oh God, you take over and remove, oh God, from our lives, oh God, that which does not belong. We give you praise, oh God, that we have the mind of Christ. It's a fearless mind. It's a mind that is bold. It's a mind, oh God, filled with the love of God. We thank you, God, that we have steadfastness, oh God, and a committedness, oh God, to each other. Father, walking in unity, walking, oh God, walking, oh God, in your authority. We, oh God, this day banish, oh God, we banish by the authority of the word of love. We banish fear. In Jesus' name, we banish disorder. In Jesus' name, we banish doubt. In Jesus' name, we banish disunity. In Jesus' name, and we cleave, O God, to the authority of your word. We choose this day a united front. We stand together and we do not break rank. We move, O God, under the lordship, O God, of the Most High God, as a military force. We move, O God, O Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, O God, that we are moving together as a mighty force of the Most High God, and we are tearing down strongholds. We are tearing down strongholds. We are tearing down strongholds, and we are steadfast in faith, bold, O God, because your grace is sufficient in the power of the Holy Ghost helping us. This we declare by the word of faith. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Just share a few more things quickly and we'll be done for tonight. The word of God says in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, and this is the other thing about 22 that we need to be very aware of. Reflects on revelation. Praise the Lord. A manifestation, a revelation of the word of God. But this revealing of the word of God is not a revealing of understanding or just understanding, but it's a revelation to see what is there. So, for example, this vase that is here, if it were covered with something, it would be hidden from your view. You won't know what's there. But if I take the veil off, you have a revelation in the scene of what's there. But you are seeing what is there. So you can touch it. That makes sense? There's a sin of imagination. Imagination. And imagination is imaging. Hello? God wants to take the imaging in the mind and bring it to reality where you can feel it and touch it. God is moving you and I from the place of imagining it, hoping for it, to seeing it. Not just hearing it. For in the realm of hearing, faith comes. Faith begins to activate. Okay, let me put it this way. Car. Did you see a car? When I said car. Or you saw letters. Did you see a car? You saw cars. No, what did you see? You saw letters. Interesting. Wow. Book. You saw. But the reality is, both things work, right? You see car, he said he saw letters, C-A-R. But some people saw a car. Some people may have seen a Toyota. Some people may have seen a Hyundai. Some may have seen a Mercedes-Benz. Some people a Cadillac, whatever. But depending on what it is that you're looking at, you're going to see something. You saw something. He saw letters. Somebody else saw a vehicle. But you saw something. But what God is saying to us now is, I'm going to take you past just seeing it in your mind to seeing it in the feeling and the touching. How does this happen? God takes you through an open door. And we're going to pray two prayers now. There are some portals or some doors that need to be shut. And there are doors that need to be opened. Isaiah 22:22 tells us about that. Revelation chapter 3, 7 and 8 tell us about that. We shared from that. It says in chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, after this I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Where was the door open? In heaven. And the first voice which I heard, when that door was opened, was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up. Either come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. I'm going to show you things. John, come up. Where is John? John is in Patmos. He's in prison. They're trying to kill him. They've boiled him in hot water. They've done every possible thing to kill this man. And he won't die. So they sent him out into this island of Patmos. And Mom and I have been there. And they leave him there. But Jesus, the risen Lord, shows up and begins to unveil things to him. I don't know if you're ready for this, but I know by the Spirit of God, I spoke to you about this already. that there are things God is about to reveal that's not going to make sense to other people. In fact, you talking about it is going to get them so wound up they think you've lost your mind. But it will be the truth of God, what God wants to do. Praise the Lord. This is going to be the time when you don't cast your pearls to swine, because they don't get it. So explaining it is not going to mean anything to them. But God is about to open the portal, and you're going to go through that portal, and you're going to have an experience in God. Whoever it is that I'm speaking to, hear this right now. It's happening now. It goes on and says in verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit. When he said, come up, he says, immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. That's God saying, I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. A throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Praise God. Verse 3 says, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne. The world strives to take the symbolism of the rainbow and use it. And God is taking back what belongs to him. Amen? He says it was like a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. These 24 elders are representatives of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Government coming together, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Wow. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. Full of eyes. And the first beast was like a lion. And the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. This is pulled out. This is a revelation God already gave to Ezekiel. And John is peeking into that now. And he goes on and tells us what he was seeing. How did he see these things? He saw them because a door was opened. God is opening a door that's going to bring us into a deeper revelation of who he is and what he's around and what is around him. May your eyes and my eyes be open, and may our ears be open to hear what God is saying, so that we can be caught up by the Spirit of God into this realm to see things in the place where we already are seated. We are seated in heavenly places, are we not? Okay. God is going to take you into chambers. Praise the Lord. Doors that you have not seen open are about to be opened. You know, one of the sons in this house the other day maybe sometime last week, we're giving out some gifts to certain workers, and he came into this particular room and he says, "Huh? I never knew this room was in this place." Well, he's been attending this church for years now, but he didn't know that there was a room like that. Well, God is about to take you into rooms that you didn't know existed. Are you ready for it? All right. Rise with me. As you rise, I'm going to read to you Revelation 3, 7, and 8. And then we're going to do these two final things tonight. Revelation 3, 7. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, this thing said, He that is holy, He that is true, He that had the key of David, He that opened it, and no man shut it, and shut it, and no man opened it." So there are two things. One door is shut and another open. Amen? Then it says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an what? Open door." I take this word as a very personal word. God has set before me an open door. And I have a decision to make. Am I just going to be staring at the open door? Or am I going to walk through the open door? You have a decision to make. Are you going to walk through the open door or stand there staring at it? It's a decision. It says, "And no man can shut it." In other words, this door is going to be perpetually open. Did you get that? It is open, and it's going to stay open. Now make a decision where you're going to go through that door. He says, the reason I'm keeping it open is because you're not strong enough. "For thou hast little strength, and hast kept, but you've kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So I'm going to open that door, and I'm going to keep it open. It's not going to be shut. I am going to generate my mandate concerning this door, the door of opportunities, so that you can go in and out." But the amazing thing in this passage of Scripture, it says, "I'm going to make you a pillar so that you don't have to go in and out anymore. You're going to stay. You're going to abide because you find out there's nothing else anywhere else. All I want to be is to be in the house of the Lord as a pillar in the house of the Lord." Prayer point, two things. God, any portals that have been opened in my life that the enemy has had access to come through all these years, I declare in Jesus' name that those doors be permanently shut. I take the key that you've given to me and I lock this door and no one can open it. But Lord, the doors that are now open, may they stay open for me so I have the full impact of the benefits of the kingdom of God. Did you get it? Okay. I know Kristen will do her part and make certain that you get it. So, pray. Talk to the Lord about that right now. Thank you, Jesus. God, any portals that have been opened in my life that the enemy has access to, I declare in Jesus' name that those doors be permanently shut. No one can open it. The doors that are now open, may they remain open so I reap all the benefits. The doors that the Lord has opened for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. The doors that God has opened for me, God has empowered me to open up. Let them stay open for God's glory in my life. Hallelujah. Pray. Talk to the Lord right now. Doors of anger, strife, doors of addiction, whatever doors those doors might be, portals that the enemy's had access to. And when he wants to bring pain into your life, he knows he can just come through. He has the keys to those doors. And Lord, this day we declare, oh God, that the lock be changed. The enemy has no access. In the mighty name of Jesus, whatever access the enemy's had all these years, oh God, into my life, into this church, into the family, oh God, that you have raised up. Lord, oh God, those doors are shut this day, and they are shut permanently. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, these doors, oh God, of wickedness are shut permanently. They cannot be opened by anyone or by anything. In the mighty name of the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, oh God, for the grace that you've accorded us, oh God, to have an open door. Henceforth, Lord, an open door. Lord, oh God, to do ministry. Doors, oh God, and opportunities, oh God, to go forth in the wisdom and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for the boldness of grace that is operating in our lives right now. So, Lord, oh God, that we guided by your word, so God will do things that are not normal. Father, oh God, that will go through situations, because we have clear directives from you. Thank you, Father, for a world that is opened to us now. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, Father. Thank you, Lord, for financial breakthroughs for your people. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you have opened doors of opportunity for your sons and your daughters. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. We receive the full impact of the benefits that you have for us. And all of God's people together in agreement said, in Jesus' name, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. It's been a great joy once again sharing the word of God with you tonight. We'll continue on for the rest of this month. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. We're going to have so many men and women of God, and we want to be a blessing to them, you know, as they minister to us. Let us release in this month first fruits that will connect us to the best of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And please, if you're writing a check, do note that this is 2022, no longer 2021. It's 2022. So make note of it accordingly. If you have need of the communion element, you need one, just raise your hand. And the ushers will make certain that you get it. Our first guest speaker is one that you know very well already and has impacted your lives in powerful ways. He's a great young man, dear son, a prophet, and he's going to have a word for us. I believe he's going to be speaking on the 4th. And I want you to be ready to receive his ministry. And more or less every other day, there's going to be somebody else. and somebody else and somebody else. On the last day, there's going to be so many coming together from different parts of the world, going to be praying for you and praying for everyone who's a son, daughter, and partner of this ministry around the world. So get ready for great impartations. Amen? Praise the Lord. God, this is the body of the Lord. Take of this body tonight and eat. And do it in remembrance of the God who has declared already, I have an open door for you. He says, yes, I know you're weak, but you've done one thing right. You've held on to my word, and you've not denied my name. And for that, I am going to pour benefits into your life. And I'm going to make you a pillar in the house of God. I'm going to write my name on you. I'm going to write the New Jerusalem on you, the name of the new. I'm going to write my new name that nobody else knows on you. And I am going to write the name of God on you. In other words, God says, I'm marking you. I'm going to tattoo my glory on your life. That wherever you go, everybody knows, don't touch that one. Don't even go there. Stay away. The world is going to go through major issues. They're going to go through more disorder. But that's not for you. Amen? Take off this body and eat. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Take of this cup. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will heal you and make you whole. Let the word of God be forever activated in your life. May you live fulfilled. May you live blessed. May you flourish, blossom in righteousness and in truth. May the favor of God abound towards you. May every satanic agenda be crossed off from your life. May those that sought your hurt and your damage experience whatever it is that they planned for. But may you escape because of the grace of God on your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I declare the blessings of God pursue after you and overtake you, so that you walk in the blessing all of your days. May you be a testament of the goodness of God in the land of the living. May you eat of the goodness of the Lord. Enjoy the fruitfulness of your labor, because God is gracious unto you. In Jesus' name we decree it so. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God bless you richly. Enjoy the fullness of God's goodness, and may his grace abound towards you. Amen. Let me say hello to those that are